Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is March the 25th. We're in the State Capitol Senate Finance Room. Present are Chairman Olson, Chairman Stedman, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Senator Hoffman. We have a full contingent today. We have one item on the agenda, which is the Senate Joint Resolution 14, a constitutional amendment on the permanent fund POMV and earnings. We'll be hearing the bill and holding it. We'll have public testimony today, but before we get to public testimony, I'd invite Liz Harpold, staff to Senator Olson, to the Senate Finance table to give us a brief review of exactly what the resolution does.
Thank you and good morning. For the record, Liz Harpold, staff to Senator Olson. Senate Joint Resolution 14 will provide fiscal stability to the state by amending our state's constitution to consolidate the principal and earnings reserve of the permanent fund into one fund and limit the draw from the fund to a percent of market value, creating a well-protected and reliable endowment-style fund. Successful passage of this resolution from the legislature will ultimately put the decision to enact this to the voters as a ballot measure in the November 2026 general election. And additionally, I'd like to point out a new support document created by Alaska Permanent Fund CEO Devin Mitchell. It's a one-page paper about what this resolution's effect on the permanent fund dividend might mean. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions by committee members? Before we open the public hearing, we have in the audience Senator Geisel and Representative Ruffridge. Acknowledging those two legislators. So at this point, before we get started, Mr. Mitchell, do you have any comments you'd like to make at this point? Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Devin Mitchell, CEO and Executive Director of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. I didn't have any prepared comments this morning. I did want to reiterate the emphasis of the letter that we provided for the committee's consideration that there would be no impact on the process for appropriating money for a permanent fund dividend as a result of this constitutional amendment. In fact, it would make it in some ways more likely because you're going to have a structure that provides for a transfer every year from the fund to the state of Alaska, in contrast to the current construct where there are scenarios where there's a potential of a failed transfer. At the same time it does that, it protects the principal of the Alaska Permanent Fund in a more robust fashion. I think we had the seed corn analogy the last time I was at the table. It protects the basis of the funds continuing to provide for the needs of Alaska into the future and further eliminates some of the other fiscal discipline that's required by this body and the rest of the state to ensure that the fund remains an asset for all future generations.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. I think that is a key factor in reviewing this to the general public, because they're going to be very keenly interested in what this constitutional amendment does to protect the dividend. With that, I'll open public. Senator Stedman.
If we could, Mr. Chairman, could you help us with how would or what would the process be like and have to go through if this was enacted, if the legislature wanted to draw more than a 5% rate? How would they do that and accomplish that goal?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, in the current construct, it would simply be a majority vote of the two bodies of the legislature and concurrence of the governor, and you'd be able to spend an amount greater than a 5% draw. With what's proposed in the resolution, you would have a hard cap of 5%.
Senator Stedman.
So the question is, how do I get around the 5% cap if that is the cap we decide to move forward with, which is still open for some discussion, but what process would have to be undertaken to accomplish that goal of overdrawing the permanent fund?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I believe that would require an additional constitutional amendment if the joint resolution were to be approved.
Senator Stedman.
I'm not so sure, Mr. Chairman, if it would take a constitutional amendment, but it would take a vote of the people. You'd
That's
have to
correct.
Go to a general election and have a vote of the people to override that. We should get that clarified, because one of the strongest points I think we have on the issue in front of us is the protection of the permanent fund over time, not allowing overdraws of the permanent fund, and making a hard cap on whatever amount is set, if it's 5 as proposed or some other number lower maybe. But it would be very, very difficult to overdraw it. It would take an act of the general populace, and most likely would have to have a major issue in front of the state of a huge natural disaster or something extremely significant. And I think we need clarification on that.
I think that's a good point you make. So if you could check with your legal counsel, and we'll check with our legal counsel on what it may take to access the fund once the constitutional amendment is approved by the voters. Any additional questions by members? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to Mr. Mitchell, I don't know if you're the right one to talk to about this, but of the construct of conjoining the fund, that's critical. But then the other piece of it is how do we create the draw? And so we've kind of standardized on the 5 of the last 6 years and the 5% POMV. To your knowledge, has there been any other modeling done of other constructs that might be more beneficial, longer time periods, or of course lower interest or lower withdrawal rate? That's a pretty obvious one, but do you know of any body of work to create different models of that type?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, there was a lot of work done back in 2018 at the point in time the statutory POMV structure was created. And I think that body of work would reflect that the 5% draw rate is about a maximum draw that you would see as a use of an endowment that you expect to exist in perpetuity. The decision about whether or not the draw rate should be greater or lesser than that 5% target, I think, revolves around policy issues. Is there a desire to have a lesser draw rate to try to enhance the possibility of additional growth within the fund for some policy purpose? Or is there some other revenue source that could be rising that you have an ability to use your fund more heavily because you're going to have an additional revenue stream in the future that's going to offset the diminished benefit from the permanent fund in this case? So there would be certainly a lot of different ways that you can slice and dice that matrix of decisions, but that's in my mind what it boils down to, is it's ultimately a policy decision about do we expect this fund's going to be sufficient going into the future, and we just want to inflation proof it so we have the same buying power? Do we want it to grow so that we have the potential of a grading buyer power in the future, or do we have greater need today and a lesser need in the future from a buying power perspective?
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Mitchell. This time I'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the room that wants to testify on SJR 14? Anyone online? We'll close the public hearing. There must be support for it. See, there's no opposition at this point, so I guess that does the, we've answered the questions from the Permanent Fund Board. So that concludes the meeting today. Our next meeting is tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And we will be having a presentation and an update from the Alaska Broadband Office. Anything else? We are adjourned.